There's only one thing I want you guys to take home, and we'll get to that. But like, we are God's temple. This is God's church. He is building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail. Let's build according to the way he wants to build. Amen. And I feel like he wants to give us a little bit of a... There's ways to build. So the title of my preach is, Have Your Plans Been Approved? Have your plans been approved? And you know when you're building a house, you've got to go to the municipality and you've got to get your plans approved. You can't just do what you want. So the title of my preach is, Have Your Plans Been Approved? That's not by the municipality. It's by God. Because we want to build in line with his blueprint. We want to build in line with what he has for us. Amen. So let's have a look quickly at the story in Genesis 11. Oh, sorry. Genesis 11, 1 to 9. And most of you guys know the story. It's a story of the Tower of Babel. And I'm going to quickly read over it. It says, Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar instead of mortar. Then they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse them, their language, so that they will not be understand, so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because the Lord confused their language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. But what I really want to get to at that scripture, in that scripture, is man has good intention to build a big tower. Pulls together in unity. They can all speak a language, the same language. And they start. But God, it's not his plan. It's not his design. It's not what he wants. It's not actually to bring glory to him. It's to bring glory to themselves. It's about pride, that thing. But nevertheless, they're still building something. And they would have been successful if God hadn't come against them, actually. In Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, Unless God builds, laborers labor in vain. And we the laborers. How many of us have great ideas, great motives, very good motives, good intentions, but it's not in the will of God. It's not in his design. It's not in his purpose. Sometimes even ministries, things like that, they all look good. They're great. They've got a good trajectory. It's even Jesus, we think he's in this thing. But it's actually not God's design. It's not what he's got for us. Who wants to labor in vain? Do any of you guys want to labor? I don't know. I don't want to labor in vain. I don't want to be stand at that on that last day and just it's all be for worth nothing. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 13 says this, If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each person's work. Fire. We were singing that song, Fire, Lord, let your fire come down. Fire will test the quality of your work. And on that last day, I don't know. So how do you build that which brings glory to God? How do you build that which will stand the test? And I'd like to look at a few points that lead us to maybe not labor in vain. Let's not labor in vain together. Because I think what we're doing here is a congregation we're building. We're building church. We're building family. We're building a building. God uses in many different scriptures, many different ways to explain that, and I'll touch on a few of those. But I don't want to build this in vain. I don't want to labor in vain. So the first point, and now this is a personal, is build on the rock, not on the sand. So Matthew 7, 24 to 27 says this, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had foundation on rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds upon the sand. The rain came down, and we all know what happened. The house fell over." This scripture is quite interesting because it speaks, it's actually speaking, like we sometimes think it speaks about this, the unsaved and the saved. But actually, the scripture is speaking to us. If you go back the scripture to Matthew 7, 21, 24, it says this. What does it say? It says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers," or your workers of lawlessness, a few different translations. That scripture comes just before the one saying, those who hear these words and do them build upon the rock. So he's saying this, be doers. Be doers of what I'm teaching you. Be doers of what I'm saying. It's not, we often say, yeah, Jesus is the foundation, Jesus is the rock. But in this context, it's by doing what he's telling us to do. It's building according to his design, according to his pattern. James says this, be doers of the word and not hearers, deceiving yourselves. Meaning that we can deceive ourselves. We can think we're doing the right things. But like these here, I prophesied in your name, like in Matthew says, I prophesied in your name, I cast out demons in your name. But on that last day, we come before him, he says, get away from you, workers of iniquity. Those have not done the will of my Father. So the first point, build on the rock, not the sand. Do his will. Second point is, what materials are we using? In Corinthians, it says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, hay, or straw, their work will be tested by fire. I've already read that scripture. So when your building gets tested by fire, what's left standing? What are the things we use to build with? And precious, like gold and silver, like I read here, this is actually, it's referring to our character. That's what's going to stand on the wall, whether it will stand or not on the last day. He's talking about our character. So when he's talking about gold and silver, he's talking about obedience, openness, precious stones, submission, humility, versus hay and stubble. What's hay and stubble? Stubbornness, lack of submission, unteachableness, self-preservation, all of these things. And I love what happened this morning, because we prayed out Sheldon, and that's part of actually what I'm wanting to say. Like, I'm just kind of laying a little bit of a foundation of where I'm going. I says, because at the end of the day, we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to give an account for our lives, the way we've built. It's us. We're responsible for the way we build. So let us make sure that we build right. Now, this is personally. Number three is build God's kingdom, not your own kingdom. Matthew 6, 19 to 21 says, do not store up for yourself treasures in earth with moth and vermin, where moth and vermin will destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You know that your feet follow your heart. You know that? Your anatomy, your body, Generally, where your heart is, your feet have gone there. That's quite a simple analogy. But it's very interesting for me, because if you're here, your heart's here. It shows very quickly. You can very quickly see where people's heart lie. If they're here, if they're part of, if they're coming, if they're going to community on a Wednesday night, if they're there, they're regularly there, they're in it, generally their heart is there. Else they're not going to be going. So build God's kingdom, not your own. And the fourth thing, and this is really what I want to be sharing about this morning, is make sure you're part of what God is building. Make sure we are part of what God is building. Oh, the spot I love. Because if we're not part of what God is building, we're going to be working against him, actually. We'll not work. He'll come down and he comes against us, in a sense, if we're not part of what he's building. So Matthew 16:18 says this, "And tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." Jesus is building. He is the builder. How does he build? He uses apostles to build. 1 Corinthians 3:10-11 says this, "According to the grace," and this is Paul speaking, says, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else built upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So here's a scripture clearly saying to us that there's a man and he's building. I just want to draw that picture quickly for us. Jesus builds his church. He's like the owner of the property, and he commissions somebody to build. Paul is the builder. He's the skilled builder. Now, what's he building with? You and me. You know that. He's building with you and me. We are stones. We're the stones he's using. 1 Peter says this, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable through Jesus Christ." Look at the person next to you. Let's loosen it up a little bit. Come on, guys. Look at the person next to you. Say, "You are a living stone." Mm-hmm. Say it again. "You are a living stone." Have you ever taken time to look at a stone building? Okay, this is really where I'm going, guys. If this is all you remember this morning, great. You're a living stone. Remember that. Have you ever looked at a stone building? Have you guys ever looked at a stone? I like buildings. I love it. But have you ever seen how stone buildings built? It's stones upon one another. It's not just like, and each stone has its specific place to go. So being a stone, we've got to allow ourselves to be built in. And we've got to allow ourselves to let people be built upon us. We've got to allow ourselves to be built on people, next to people, people built on us. And really, so what happens if you just decide to remove yourself out of the stone building that's busy being built? See, here's a building over here. Here's a big stacker door system over here. You know that you can't see it, but underneath here is a serious piece of cement with steel reinforcing that runs across this here. Okay? It's called a lintel. If there was a wall here once upon a time, and there was no door here, and I just decided I wanted a door here, and I kicked out that wall, broke it down, and put my door in here, the rest of the building would not work, I can promise you, unless I put in a lintel. Not everybody knows that. How's this? So we had, when we lived in Mossel Bay, the house in Mossel Bay, it's got arches. And it's like, I think there's six arches, quite big arches. Looks very horrible. Actually, I don't like it. These arches have got columns, and these columns are all support columns, and there's a big slab that runs on top of it to our upstairs stoop. And when we moved into that house, yes, I had such a desire, because it was like a stoop, the slab over it. I wanted to knock out all of those pillars, and I wanted to put big stacker doors there, because I thought, yes, that this would just be awesome. And I couldn't just do it. I think I realized I couldn't just do it, because it was like a 12-meter expanse. Like, there's no ways that the concrete would hold. I had to get engineers in. I had to get skilled builders to come and tell me what and what I cannot do. I couldn't just go in there and sort of rip out those pillars and do my own thing. My house would have fallen down. It would have become dangerous. People would have got hurt. And what I want to show us out of this is that if you're a stone and Jesus has added you to this building, you have a very important position. We're not skilled. We're not all skilled builders. We can't just decide we want to kick a hole in this wall and put a door there. Or I'm going to take myself out of this wall and go somewhere else. Like Sheldon, I love this picture actually. So Sheldon, the picture of him leaving, so those of you who don't know, he's actually not leaving Cape Town, he's just going to another congregation. But in a sense, he's still leaving this family, this house that's being built here. And he's a stone, he's a living stone, right Sheldon? Are you a living stone? He's a living stone that's in this family. And he's been built into the wall very well, actually. He's been cemented in. He's part of this family. There's people that are built on top of him. There's people he's discipled. He's serving. He's part of the momentum of us moving forward. If Sheldon just had to say, listen, guys, I'm out of here. I'm going to Sunningdale. Like, we've been a bit like, whoa, okay. And if he decided to pull himself out, there would not be something he couldn't have actually just done that, in a sense. Without causing structural, damage, or possible collapse. Yeah. Goodness, sorry. I thought it was closed. It's a sign I need to take a sip of water. So, as an under shepherd, in a sense, placed here by a skilled builder. I mean, we would see Andrew as an apostle. He's a skilled builder. He's placed me in a sense in care of this house to build it. Like, you know, you get laborers, you get foremen, you get guys that come and brickies, plasterers, you get those guys. But you get a foreman and a building site. He's the guy that's instructing. Sorry, it's just over here. He's the guy that's instructing. Like, hey, you need to put a little bit more cement there, or that wall's a little bit skew. But he's got guys doing it for him. So in a sense, I'm like the lackey. I'm the laborer, plastering the walls, doing that type of thing. And you guys are the bricks that we're putting in place. And in a sense, like, his submission to me, and he comes to me and he's like, hey, I'm feeling this in the Lord. That honor and submission, in a sense, allows me to go to pray about it and say, okay, yeah, I'm actually feeling the same thing. But hang on a second. Let's see how we've built. Because when you go, we don't want there to be damage. When you go, we don't want there to be like a crack forming above you. How do we do that? And to make sure that those things are in place, in a sense. But that's only possible through the way he's done it in submission. I love, you know, man, well done. I just love it when people do things right. Because you can just like lift them up and say, look at this guy. Do what he did. Do it like he did it. He came. He gave of himself. He laid his life down for those in this congregation. He was a living stone, part of this congregation. It's going to hurt when he's gone, but it's not going to break us because he did it right. If he just bailed on us, maybe it might have hurt us a bit more because it would have shaken a lot of people. Because people kind of do what they see other people do. So then it's like, okay, well, there's no sense of commitment and belonging in this church. Actually, I can come and go as I please. But if God is adding you to you, God is adding you to you. If you, yeah, you, yeah. If you're in, you're in. It's quite heavy, that, actually. It's like, so how do you leave? How do you leave? I don't know. If God moves you, in submission, death, or discipline. I don't know. how do you leave? Like, when you're added by God to a family, you're added by God to a family. Your living stone has been built into a building that brings glory to God. And I don't want to scare us, but I want to show you the weight of this thing. I want to show you the value and the importance of the thing. And this is God's design. Actually, it's not that we're just floating around doing our own thing. He uses the church to make his manifold wisdom known to principalities and rulers in high places. And we got to do this right. We got to build according to his plan and his purpose. So like if we're the stone, we're not living bricks, we're living stones. Bricks are nice and neat and they're pre-made and they fit into like a wall. I was actually, interestingly enough, when I was reading that Tower of Babel, they built with bricks. I wonder if that was part of the problem. But we're stones. He doesn't say we're bricks. He says we're stones. And if you've ever built a stone, I used to have when I was a bit younger, I had a company with a friend of mine. So called what you call rock packing. It's building with stone, and it's almost like feature walls and that type of thing. So I used to watch the guys. I had a team of guys that were working for me, and I used to watch the guys build. They were very skilled laborers. They used to take every stone, and they used to look at the stone and see where it would fit, and they'd find a place for it. And if it didn't quite fit, they'd have to chip it off a little bit, and they'd have to work that stone to fit into that wall. So sometimes, we don't always just fit. Sometimes we've been built into another wall, and we've got a little bit of cement left on us. Have you seen that? You know what that looks like? And you need that cement doesn't look nice when it's on the wall. It needs to be chipped off. Because God is building you into this church, into this family. And that's something we do need to settle in our hearts. Actually, that's very important when joining a church. Make sure God's called you to join a church. Make sure this is for you, because it's that important. It's like a marriage. It's really, really weighty. Don't just, I'm part of you, la, 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 and then I'm gone a couple of weeks later. No, no, no. You're missing God's plan and his design if that's it. And I think a lot of us sometimes just don't see it like that. We think, oh, but God builds his church. It's fine. Like I've heard a lot of people say, no, but Jesus is building his church. Yes, Jesus is building his church, but he uses people to build it. He uses us to say, put this in place, put that in place, and do this. And, you know, what are the things that sometimes we might need to chip off us? Sometimes we pick up, like, things along the way, or we want to do things our way, our perception of things. He's got a design. He's got a purpose. Submission. Come low. Die, so you can live. Ministry. Sometimes we bring ministries in with us. Oh, I got this ministry. Like, I want to, like, I felt like God's called me to this. You know, maybe he has, but God's called you first to this. And if this is what he's called you to, give that up, and he will raise it up, because no man can put to death what God is wanting to raise up. So in a sense, leave that thing, because God will raise it up, and he'll raise it up in the right way, through the right channels, with the church going out in submission to his design and his will. Instead of us being independent, I just want to get real sometimes, like, and I'm scared to be offensive in a way, but like, so what? But like, so many organizations and things have actually been birthed out of a bad place. Like, it's dangerous, because the seed of that thing is actually rotten, and the rotten seed's going to give birth to bad fruit one day. And I'm worried, like, some of these organizations are great and they do a good thing because the church has maybe not done what the church should have done. But actually, in the proper way, in the proper design, that thing should be in the church, under the church, in submission to the church, running alongside the church. Not how can we use the church to help us, but how can the church use us to help the world? And then, I don't want to use names, but I do. No, I'm not going to. It's not my place. So can you come and die so you can live? Let go of all of those things. So in him, he will raise you up. And part of the lesson of a lot of the time that God's teaching us in this is letting go. Letting go. And it might take a long time because we're not getting it. Might be going around the mountain the whole time. But God's saying, let go. You haven't let go. You haven't let go. Let go. Oh. So, that really is all I want to say, is if you're a stone, if you're a living stone, and you've been built into this building, and you're being built into this building, be built into this building. Because I want to know, I want to ask you this question. As somebody that's been placed here to build, in a sense, by a skilled builder, can I build on you? Can I build on you? It sounds quite hectic, but it's not, I love you guys. I'm sorry. Oh, jeez. Yeah, at least I got the towel already. But really, guys, you got to hear my heart in this. These things do carry weight because they are, it's truth. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of God that we're speaking about. So they must be weighty. They're enough to wreck your life, enough to derail you in another direction, enough to take you out of darkness and put you into light. So they are heavy, but hear my heart. Because I only want the best for you. I want to build God's way. I want to see each of you fitted into the place where God's got for you, polished, shiny, thriving. Him raising up things through you, submitted one to another, flourishing. We're only going to really do that if we understand the way God works, if we understand that we are living stones being added, being built in. So if my question is this, and maybe we need to all ask ourselves this, is I've got to ask myself this question sometimes, and I'll share a little story with you, is if I, me, Ross, stand here, build on you, will what I build on you break? Or will it stand strong? Will you be a pillar? Will you be cemented in? Will you give of yourself? Will you be part of this house? You see, a good story is I think of us living in Mossel Bay for the last 7 years. I think I had an understanding of this, God had placed something in my heart, and I realized that if I go, I may cause damage because I've been used here. Been built upon. But if those who've built me into place ask me to go, they know that the wall won't come down. You understand what I'm saying? So if those that have put me there remove me, they've put a lintel in place. It's safe. But if I move, I might cause danger. I might create a crack in the structure. That's what kept me there for the last 7 years. Because there were times where let's go and do this. And God is like, no, I'm doing something in you here. Sit on your hands. Don't move until I tell the guys that I've appointed over you or that I've used to build you into this wall to move. And that time came. And they had to put a lintel. There wasn't a lintel there. They had to put one there quickly. Have you ever seen that? In the wall, you've got to drill, you've got to cut into the wall on either side, and you've got to put that lintel in there, and you've got to plaster above it, and then only can you break away the wall. Takes a bit of time. So it actually was a bit of a process of putting things in place. But it was done in submission, and it was done in His way, under His will. So, that's all you take away this morning. Great. Maybe the title of the preach is, Are Your Plans Approved? I think that's why we've got a plan. That's why we've got to submit plans to the municipality. Because the municipality knows this palooka is just breaking out walls. His house is going to fall down and people are going to get hurt. That's why it's a legal requirement to submit plans to the municipality. And you don't infringe on other people's building plans and that as well. So are your plans submitted to God and to those that He's put over you or those that He's put in place to build with you? And remember, you are a living stone built into this house. Yeah. Sorry, I've been carrying this thing like that's like the whole week. Sometimes it's funny like this, like when you're prepping a preach and when you're prepping and you want to say something, you're carrying something. It's like a burden. And it's something inside of your heart that grows. And you can't always put things around it to make it sound nice or whatever. But the thing, that thing I want to say is just that. You're a living stone. I've unloaded it. I've offloaded it. I'm done. I feel like I can go home now. What you do with it is up to you. The rest is up to you. You've got to decide. Like that scripture that Ant brought in the prayer meeting. Esther, the story of Esther, you know that story? And Haman? Haman comes against the Jewish people. A whole long story. Go and read it. It's in Esther. I'm not going to go too much into it now. But Mordecai goes to Esther and he says to Esther, you have a choice. Choose now to try and help your people, or God will raise someone else up, but he will deliver his people. Yo, I was just like, that's a bit of a rebuke. It's like her uncle came to her and said that to her. He said, choose now. You can help, or God's going to use someone else. He gave her a choice. Then she goes, then they fast and they pray and his unity and his blessing. But there was a choice that ensued before that, and she chose well. She chose to trust in him. It's fine. Don't worry. He wants the water. So where to from here? I don't know. Maybe if something I've said this morning, has it maybe loosened something in your heart? So maybe there's been a piece of cement. Realizing now you're a stone, maybe there was a piece of cement. Maybe there was a corner that wasn't fitting lacquer into the wall. And God's highlighting that thing this morning. And he just wants to chip it off. How does he chip it off? He uses those around us. He does it sometimes himself by just highlighting it as we submit it to him. He does use people too to speak into our lives. So this morning, maybe that's what God's doing right now. If that's you, if you felt like there's been a piece of cement or there's a corner and you want to surrender that to him, there's an opportunity. Starts at repentance. Lord, look, I'm sorry. That is me. I know I'm a stone. I want to be built into this wall. I want to be cemented into this wall. I want to be dependable. I want you to see your kingdom built to the beauty, like this beautiful picture. I want to bring glory to your name in the little bit that I can contribute in this wall, Father. Because only when we all plug together in this wall does the glory shine through us.